This message is given by Dr. B.J. Stagner, pastor of New Testament Baptist Church, Goodlettsville, Tennessee.
But it's the first time I've preached a message solely on this subject. I can't tell you why. I can tell you when the Lord started giving it to me, but I cannot tell you why. So we're going to have at it today. Amen, amen. Let me say this, and I know I say it all the time, but it's good to be in the house of God. Good to have the opportunity. It's good to be able to come and sing praises to His name and pray with brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. And have the fellowship. God's blessed us. But you know what? It's good to come and be a part of the preaching. Amen. I count it an honor for God to use me the little that He does in preaching His Word. So this morning, Proverbs chapter 20, one verse this morning we're going to open up with. One verse, and it's the very first one, whereas the Bible says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Let us pray. Lord, I do come before You and ask You for Your help, Lord God. You know the time and effort that's been placed into this message, Lord God, and You know, Lord Father, the prayers that have gone up. Most of all, Lord Jesus, You know why and where and when this message is most needed in our life. Father, I ask You, Lord God, to work Your will today. Perform the mighty miracle, Lord Jesus, in our life. For whatever reason it may be, dear Lord, I pray that You bless Your Word. Lord, I love You and I ask You now to hear our prayers. Lord God, we pray for the Vernon Davis family. Lord God, we pray for the multitude of people, Lord God, today. We pray for the Jernigan family, Lord Jesus. We just ask You to answer our prayers according to Thy will. Lord, I want to say to You, say it publicly, that I love You. And I praise Your wonderful name. And I thank You for dying on the cross for my soul. And I thank You for giving me a perfect Bible to live by. Jesus, we ask You now to be with us and bear with us in our folly. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, the Bible says that strong drink is raging. Beloved, rage is defined as violent anger. It's defined as vehemence or violent exacerbation of anything painful. It means extreme violence. The Bible calls it strong drink. And He says that strong drink is raging. And raging is defined, beloved, as mere violence in a person's life. I like to call today the word strong drink, or that phrase strong drink, the belligerent beverage. You say, preacher, why? Beloved, the word belligerent means aggressive. It means confrontational. It means cantankerous. It means to wage war or in the midst of raging war. People have said that the word can be used in sentences such like this, carrying on war as a belligerent nation. Beloved, it is the only drink in this world that wages war against the soul. It is aggressive in its substance and it's cantankerous in its strength. Men have fallen prey to strong drink, to alcohol, since the days of Noah, beloved. Beloved, we see from the very beginning that this belligerent beverage has done nothing but rob women of their children, women of their husbands, mothers of their children, and husbands of their marriage, beloved. And my question to you this morning is, can anything good come of strong drink? Beloved, it's the deadliest drug in America today. Do you believe that? Can you say amen? Amen? It's the most vicious creature that crawled out of the pit of hell, beloved. It has killed more than all wars combined. And beloved, it enters a person's life sweet, but it departs the soul with the sting of death in the grave of mankind. The belligerent drink. The belligerent beverage. Look in Psalms 23 with me. Just turn over one page, beloved. Read with me, if you will, verses 29 through 35. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23, if you will. Look there in verse 29. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29. The Bible says, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contention? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, They that go to seek mixed wine, look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold a strange woman. Thine heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. They have stricken me. Shalt thou say, I was not sick? They have beaten me, and I have felt it not. When shall I awake? Watch this. I will seek it yet again. Beloved, the belligerent beverage is most dangerous and the most deadliest drug in America today because of its mighty marketing. Can you say amen? It's no mistake. I don't know. I didn't know when the Super Bowl was. I understand today's Super Bowl Sunday. Amen. And you know what, people? There, 50%. I heard 50 some odd percentage of people that watch the Super Bowl, out of how many millions will watch the thing, either 50 million of them are watching it only for the commercials. Amen? Now listen, the belligerent beverage, beloved, is most dangerous today because of its mighty marketing, because of its mass production and its many maneuvers, dear saints. You say, preacher, I don't understand where you're going with this. You stick around long enough, you will, beloved. Listen, it slithers into homes, it slithers into businesses, into churches, into families, and it comes in for one purpose and one purpose alone, and that is for their destruction. Can you say amen? Beloved, the world's telling us to drink. Did you know that? Our families are telling us to drink. Everywhere we travel, they're telling us to drink. This belligerent beverage is masquerading as a social delight. Amen, amen. You can't go to a nice restaurant today without someone giving you a wine list. The whole world is telling you to drink, beloved. According to the National Institute of Alcohol Abuse and Alcoholism, adolescents who begin drinking before the age of 15 are 4 times as likely to become dependent on alcohol than those who begin at 21. Beloved, the average age when America begins drinking regularly is 15.9 years of age. Beloved, listen, the average boy takes his first drink at the age of 11 and the average girl at the age of 13. You imagine that? How many people in here today got children 10 and older? Raise your hand. That's a scary thought, isn't it? That's a scary thought. Beloved, statistics show that there's nearly 7.4 million youths that are binge drinking today in America alone. 7.4 million. Beloved, the alcohol industry has placed over 1 million television ads since 2001 and 2004. They have spent $3.5 billion just in advertisement from 01 to 04. Everything that we see today in this world, everything that we see is funneled through the advertisement of alcohol, isn't it? Hey man, you can't even watch a sports show. Everything, sports, rodeo, from rodeo, sports, car racing, all this stuff that you see today that is popular in the world, beloved, is funneled somehow through the alcohol companies. They got a price tag on it, don't they? Now, beloved, the top three breweries in 2000 produced over 5 billion gallons of beer. 5 billion. Beloved, I didn't expect this message to be a hoop and a holler. Amen. I expect it to be, no pun intended, a very sobering message this morning. Beloved, a study showed that children ages 9 to 11 found that they were more familiar with the Budweiser Frogs than they were with Kellogg's Tony the Tiger, the Mighty Morphin Rangers, and how about this one, Smokey the Bear. They were more familiar with the Budweiser Frogs. Beloved, the world tells us to drink up. The foolish man in the Bible said, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Yet God's reply to him was, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Can you say amen? Beloved, many, and here you say, preacher, why are you preaching this is Sunday morning? I can't tell you why I'm preaching it, amen, it's Sunday morning. I know God's got a reason. God's got a purpose. God's got a plan because God is perfect, amen. He knows why the message is being preached on Sunday morning, and all I got to do is what He tells me to do. Many people are confused about alcohol in the Bible. They're confused about wine in the Bible, beloved. Many people come to me and they ask me, should a Christian drink alcohol? And my statement is always no. You say, why, preacher? Listen, many people misinterpret the doctrine of eternal security, you know? If eternal security is a license to sin. And I'm telling you, beloved, that's just not what it is. But I will give you this morning. The Bible can answer every question that we have and it can correct the misinterpretations that we have. We sit back and we say, well, I believe this and I believe that. And listen, this morning, beloved, the Bible is going to tell us what we need to believe and what we need to do. And that will answer all our questions and correct all our doubts. Amen, amen. Love, there's four things I want us to look at concerning wine and the belligerent beverage. And listen, I'm not intending on finishing this message this morning by no means. If we're fortunate, we'll get through the first two this morning. But I'm only intending on doing one today. You got to come back tonight to hear the rest. Amen. Old Paul Harvey says you'll get the rest of the story this evening. Amen. Four things I want us to look at concerning wine and this belligerent beverage. Number one, I want us to look at the scripture, beloved, of wine and strong drink. I want us to look at the suffering from wine and strong drink. I want us to look at the scorn by wine and strong drink. And lastly, I want us to see the success from wine and strong drink. You see, beloved, we're always going to have to end on a positive note. Amen. Listen, God said He's never put a temptation on us that we're not able to bear. Amen? And He always, always, always provides us a way to escape, beloved. First and foremost, tonight, this morning, I messed it up, I know. I don't have my sign back there. First of all, this morning, I want us to lay a foundation comparing Scripture with what? With Scripture. You don't want to hear Scripture compared with thus saith the preacher. You want to hear Scripture compared with Scripture. Can you say amen, beloved? Every time, understand this morning, every time that you read the word wine in the Bible, beloved, you're not reading about necessarily strong drink. You got to evaluate, you got to understand the context of each passage of the Scripture, beloved, in order to ascertain what is the correct definition and direction of the verse or verses, beloved. Listen, there's two types of wine in the Bible. There's the wine of the Bible that will intoxicate you, amen. And there's the wine of the Bible that will not intoxicate you. And what I'm referring to this morning, as you turn to Proverbs chapter 23, you may still be there, beloved, but I'm referring to that which has alcohol, which is fermented, and that which is not alcohol, which is not fermented. Proverbs chapter 23, if you will. Proverbs chapter 23, just by way of introduction, understand what Solomon here. By the way, Solomon, the Bible says that Solomon was the wisest man on the face of this earth. He was the wisest man and God used him. Verse 31, the Bible says, look not thou upon the wine. Be you there, say amen. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself. All right, beloved. Do you understand that? Solomon's telling you not to even look at it, beloved. Do not even look at it when it's red. Don't even look at it when it moves itself aright. What he's saying is don't look at the wine when it is fermented, beloved. Don't even look at it. You know why? He's saying desire it not. Amen and amen. Don't have a desire. Don't have a lust. Don't even go around it and look at it so that you may undergo the temptation of partaking in such a wicked and despicable substance in this world today. Now, here's the other questions that I'm given as we're comparing Scripture with Scripture, beloved. The questions that you hear all the time. And listen, I call them questions and so do they. But in reality, you know what they are? They're accusations. Amen? Y'all know where I'm going? Didn't Jesus turn water into wine? Oh, yeah. Oh, did. Oh, isn't moderation the real answer, preacher? The Bible says drink a little wine for thy stomach's sake. They're all presented as questions, beloved, but more or less they're accusations against God. Hey, beloved, the wisest man on the face of the earth, the wisest man that ever lived said, do not look at it, amen. Desire it not. Lust not after it, beloved. Look back in our text this morning to Proverbs chapter 20. Let's go back to our text. And I want you to see something here as we begin to break down the Scripture, answering Scripture with Scripture, seeing where it's going to go and how it's going to turn our life here this morning inside the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 20, let's read it again. Verse 1, the Bible says, Proverbs 20 verse 1, it says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, let me share this with you first of all. To me, as a believer in Christ, someone who knows the Bible, someone who knows who has saved me, someone who possesses the Spirit of God down deep inside of me, whereas I can discern things spiritually rather than carnally, I look at that verse and I say, you know what? It tells me not to be fooling around because wine is going to mock me out. It tells me here that strong drink is raging, therefore I ought not fool with it. Amen? But with some people, you got to go just a little bit deeper. I want you to understand, the Hebrew word used here for strong drink is a word called shikar, beloved. It's called shikar. Now listen, before we get started, understand this. I am neither giving superiority to the Hebrew nor to the Greek this morning, but we're going to study it out and find out how you can dig inside your English Bible, beloved, inside your English Bible right here this morning and have a perfect, pure, preserved Word of God right here without going back to the Hebrew or the Greek, but I want to give you a derivative here. Beloved, the Hebrew word for strong drink is shikar, beloved, and it by definition only means intoxicant. It means something that is an intensely alcoholic liquor, beloved. You will grow to learn throughout this message this morning and tonight that strong drink is universally, look over there in chapter 31, strong drink is universally condemned in the Word of God. Strong drink is universally condemned in the Word of God, except with one exception. This is where everybody's eyes open up. This is where they go, here we go. Now I got my justification to drink my liquor. All right, we're going to find out. Amen. Proverbs chapter 31, look in verse 4. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, look in verse 6 first. Look in verse 6. Don't look at verse 4. Verse 6 says, give strong drink. Here's that same word, shikar. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish. Wine unto those that be of heavy heart. He says here, you're giving strong drink unto someone who is ready to die. Strong drink was given unto people that was as a narcotic, beloved, in the same manner that hospice today will give narcotics or give a morphine drip unto those who are ready to perish. At the end stage of cancer is what strong drink was utilized as, beloved. He's saying, give strong drink unto those that are ready to die. Used as a painkiller. Used as a morphine or a narcotic, beloved. Look in verse 4, though. Watch the same thing here. We're looking at our words. Verse 4 says, it is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor princes strong drink. And you sit there and you go, wait a second, preacher, where are you going with this? This is talking about those that are in a position. Those that are in status. Those that are in a position of responsibility. They're not to take a strong drink. They're not to drink wine, right? And you're going to sit back and say, hey, preacher, I got it made. I'm not a king. I'm not a prince. I'm not a royalty. Now, wait a second here. Amen? We just spent 5 sermons on the Bride of Christ. Amen? We just spent 5 sermons on the Bride of Christ. Peter said, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Number one, there's your kingships and being royal. Amen. And number two, there's your priesthood, your position of responsibility. Amen. Paul said this. He said, ye, now what? Listen to this. You can write it down, 2 Corinthians 3:2. He says, ye are our epistle. What's an epistle? It's a letter. He says, ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men, for as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ. You were a letter of the Lord Jesus Christ, known and read of all men. Not just the church, not just your family, not just your co-workers, but beloved, you are known and read amongst all men. He said yet again, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. An ambassador is a representative, beloved. Do you understand this morning, beloved, that everybody in this world, when they see you, all men, when they see you, you are an open book. It's just like this. This is your life. You are an open book unto the entire world of Jesus Christ, of the church, of the Bride of Christ. What they see in you, what they hear in you, beloved, is exactly what they see in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what they see in the church, beloved. What they see, how you live your life, the things you say, the places you go, dear saints of God. We're finding here, when you begin to look at that, when the world sees you, you are a letter read amongst all men. That what they see in you, they'll see in the Savior. Strong drink, beloved. It's forbidden. Outside of narcotic. Scripture, beloved. Scripture uses another word for the word wine. Do you understand that? As in new wine. So I say, yep, I got him here. I'm going to find out how I can drink that wine. Nehemiah 10:39 says, for the children of Israel and the children of Levi shall bring the offering of the corn of the new wine. That Hebrew word is tirosh, beloved. It's used 38 times in the Old Testament. And it means the sense of expulsion. Fresh grape juice is what it means. How many people heard the word fresh? Amen. Fresh. The Bible tells me over there in Proverbs 3:10, it says, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. The Bible says over there in Isaiah 65:8, it says, thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found, watch this, in the cluster. That word tirosh used 38 times in the Old Testament, beloved. Do you know what it means? It's referring to fresh grape juice, even referring to it as far before it's pressed out of the grape. Amen, amen. Do you get this picture now? Do you understand this? Of how wine is strong drink, how these words are different and the definitions are different. But we're going to get to the point where you've got to study the context. Now understand this. Here is a lie that's been told in the world, and I want you to get this picture. Go ahead and turn back to Proverbs 20. We'll get there in just a second here. Many people who believe that you can drink alcohol today as a believer and as a Christian and still live a godly life and a Christian life and be a good testimony, they say, well, the men of old did not know how to check for fermentation. Yes, they did. Amen? Yes, they did know how to check for fermentation. You can go all the way back. Hey, guess what? Noah found out how to check for fermentation, didn't he? Noah got drunk and look what happened. Amen, amen? Look what happened to him when the waters had settled. Beloved, they knew how to check and verify fermentation, and they knew not to partake of the grape once it was fermented, beloved. Now, having said all that, here's the kicker. there's a particular guy that refutes evolution, and you know what he does? He uses their words against them, and I love it. Here's the key. Everybody wants to go to the, well, this is what the colleges say. This is what the professors, I'm a college grad, amen? Praise God. I'm glad I went to college. If I didn't go to college, I'd be up here sounding like a bumbling idiot, worse than I already do. Do you understand that? What I'm trying to tell you today is that Yale study proved beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is impossible, amen? I love this, amen? We go, right, let's go to Yale, amen? We're not going somewhere, let's go to Yale. Their study proved that it is impossible for the grape, through the basic and natural fermentation process, to prove sufficient alcohol to cause drunkenness. Now, you say, wait a second. When we first started this church, when we first started, there were six of us. We had the Lord's Supper. And, you know, you're only using, well, four wafers. We have plenty of wafers, amen? And we bought us a can of grape juice. As a can. We put it in the refrigerator. And that thing sat there for 4 months. And then we're going to have the Lord's Supper again. Oh, boy. We took that thing out of there and ladies started pouring that and they went... Now, I don't think anyone sipped it. They better not have. But what I'm trying to say, that grape juice rotten and it turned alcoholic. But did you know that through the basic fermentation process of the grape, did you know that it's impossible? For basic fermentation process, it is impossible for the grape to produce enough alcohol sufficient to cause drunkenness. Amen? Lest you have some type of mechanical interference. Now, those of you who are from the hills, you know what steels are. Amen? They don't just mix a little bit of juice. There's mechanical interference. Secondly, what they do with most wines is they incorporate, they add pure alcohol. You say, preacher, what do you know? I just know what Yale proved. Amen? I know that it's impossible for them to take the grape and produce. Now, you may drink a lot of it, drink it in excess or something. You may get a little buzz, but for the drunkenness or the type of alcohol, the type of wine that you find in the stores today, it is produced, beloved, with mechanical interference. Mechanical interference and adding of pure alcohol, beloved, is what we see in the stores. Now look back with me in Proverbs 20, verse 1. We've looked at the words used for strong drink. We've looked at the two words there that we've seen. We also saw the word about new wine in Tiros. We saw the word shikar used in strong drink. But let's go to the most frequent Hebrew word used in the Old Testament for the word wine. And this is where you get into your Bible and you know that it's perfected in the English language right here and right now. Proverbs 20 verse 1, the Bible says, wine is a mocker. That word used there for wine is yain, Y-A-I-N. It occurs 134 times in the Old Testament. And it occurs in Isaiah 16, verse 10, where the Bible says, the treaders shall tread out no wine in their presses. It's the same word. The same word used in Isaiah 16, 10, which is wine of a positive nature, is the same word used in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. It's just wine in a negative nature. What does that mean, beloved? It means that you have to study the context. Amen, amen. You've got to study the context of the Scripture in order to understand the perfect, purified meaning of the verses. All you got to do is obey the Word of God, where it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not being ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. That's where you get into. You study the Scripture out to prove what it means and what it doesn't mean. What happens today, one of the worst problems that we see today, is that people get a hold of a small portion of Scripture. Amen. Like, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. They get a hold of a small portion of Scripture and they pervert it into meaning something that it doesn't mean. Or they get a hold of a partial Scripture and they pervert it into meaning something that it doesn't mean. There was a particular man one time, I remember this story used. He was depressed, right? He was depressed and he said, you know what? I'm going to go to the Bible and I'm going to find out what I can do for my depression. I'm down, you know, life's terrible. And he goes, I'm just going to open it up. Wherever it opens, I'm going to start reading. I'm going to find guidance for my life. He opens it up to Matthew 27, 5, where the Bible says, and departed and went out and hanged himself. He shut the Bible up real quick. He went, whew, wait a second here. It just happened once. Let's try it again. He opened it up. He went over there where Jesus Christ said, go and do thou likewise. Amen. Listen, that's the problem that we find in people forming doctrines and belief systems around the Word of God is they don't study to show themselves approved, rightly dividing the Word of truth. And they just open it up to wherever it may go and what may benefit them, beloved. People use the word drink today universally, don't they? If you come to me as a preacher, you say, preacher, can we get something? Let's get something to drink. What am I going to think? Tea? Coffee? Probably coffee. Amen. Or, you know, or juice or whatever. Water for that. But you go to no booze hound, you go to no drunk, and you say, hey, let's go get a drink. What are they going to think about? Liquor. Alcohol. It's the same principle, beloved, inside the Bible. That's why you have to rightly divide and you got to study it out. The New Testament uses a universal Greek word called oinos. It's in 25 verses in the Bible, and it's in the very same verse that most people use to justify drinking in John chapter 4, verse 46, where Jesus Christ turned water into wine. Right? Amen, amen. Turn to the book of Habakkuk real quick. Let me show you this. That word in the New Testament, beloved, is called oinos. And it's the same word that is used over in John 4, verse 46, where Christ performed His first miracle at the wedding of Cana. Now, the reality is this, dear saints. Even though we understand that these words, wine and all this and that, is universal and it's interchangeable inside the New Testament, anyone with a fourth grade reading level, beloved, can determine what the Bible is saying and what the Scripture is saying. Get yourself a Strong's Concordance. And I'm not saying the Strong's Concordance, beloved. I'm not saying it's equal or superior or you need that to understand. But, beloved, in your early studies, you might want to have one. Amen? It won't kill you to get a Strong's Concordance and trace some of these words back and find out what it means so you can rightly divide. I want you to understand this. The wisest man in the Bible said this plainly. He says, look not on it. I think if he said, look not on it, I believe I don't need really to know the Hebrew. I don't need to know the Greek. If he says, don't look at it. If I don't look at it, he's not telling me to go pick it up and drink it with my eyes closed, is he? He's saying, don't look at it. Don't be desirous of it. Don't lust after it. Stay away from it. Amen. Amen. Stay away from it. Romans 13:14 says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I just went blank. Put you on the Lord Jesus Christ. And make not provision. Amen. Make no allowances. Don't put yourself in a predicament. Make no provisions to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't do that. Desire not. Look not at the wine when it changes color. It moves itself aright, beloved. You need to leave it alone. Amen. I mean, let's just talk about common sense here. I like that. I found out that common sense is not so common in our world today. But Jesus Christ, we know He changed water into wine. Can you say amen to that? Raise your hand. We know that for a fact. The Bible says it, right? Amen. Amen. Do you think Jesus Christ made the kind of wine that will make somebody drunk? No. There ain't no way on this earth if Jesus Christ made... Hey, get this picture. Jesus Christ, according to John chapter 1, is what? He is the Word of God. Amen? We all agree with that. Would you not say that Jesus Christ knows Himself? Amen? He knows Proverbs, doesn't He? Lord, He's the one that spoke it into His mind and His mouth to say it. But how about this verse in Habakkuk chapter 2? Habakkuk chapter 2. Look at verse 15. You're there, say amen. The Bible says, woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that putteth thy bottle to him, and maketh him, what's that word? Drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. Hey, beloved, listen. Do you get the picture here? Jesus Christ provided juice for the wedding. He provided wine, yes, but it was grape juice. There's no way that a perfect man, a perfect God, a perfect creator could produce anything out of his body and call it a miracle, beloved, that would cause drunkenness because he knew the Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15, and he knew Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, and he knew Proverbs chapter 31, and he knew Proverbs chapter 6. He knew all the things that result from alcohol. Was Jesus Christ pure? Can you say amen? Was Jesus Christ without fault? Can you say amen? Was Jesus Christ sinless? Bless God! If Jesus Christ wasn't sinless, you're today in your sins. Amen. Right. A sinner can't die for somebody else's sin, but Jesus Christ was without sin. Jesus Christ knew no sin, yet became sin for me to take my sins away. Can you say amen to that? Look over Matthew 26 with me, please. Matthew chapter 26. We want to lay a foundation this morning. Lay a foundation of what? This belligerent beverage really is. Is it okay for a believer and a Christian to drink wine? Is it okay for them to drink fermented wine? Matthew chapter 26, when you get there, just say amen. Here's a perfect example. Where are we? Perfect example, the Last Supper. Now listen, we partake in the Lord's Supper here how many times? Every other month, last Sunday evening of every other month. Now, that is an ordinance that Christ gave us, okay? There's two ordinances that we are commanded to keep. Number one is what? Baptism. Number two is what? The Lord's Supper. If you're a born-again believer in Christ, you must. God is commanding you, not for salvation, but you're to do it in remembrance of Christ. Amen? Amen? And I don't think it needs to be treated like a ritual. I don't think it needs to be treated like it's just something to do. We preach an entire message around the Lord's Supper when we meet on that last Sunday evening of every other month. We preach it around that. We have an altar call, bless God. We come and we get everything taken care of. We put it at the altar of God. And then we go back with a clean heart, clean mind, clean walk, amen, and we partake of the Lord's Supper. But let's take this. Do you think Jesus Christ, when He set that ordinance into play, when He set that ordinance for me and you to follow, having known Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15, having known Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1, having known what happened to Noah, having known all the things that He's known. Hey, listen, do you think Jesus Christ used and served and drank fermented wine at the Last Supper? Well, that's common sense to me, right? But we're entering Scripture with Scripture. Look there in Matthew chapter 26. Hey, get this picture real quick. Look up. Don't read. What kind of bread is used? It ain't Wonder White bread, is it? I mean, you're not going to sit down at the table and say and get some peanut butter and jelly out and slop on it some unleavened bread and say, "Woo, that was good." He didn't do that, did he? He used what kind of bread? Unleavened bread. What is leaven? Leaven is produced by the yeast when it becomes what? Fermented. Why in the world would Jesus Christ use unfermented, unleavened bread and then use fermented wine? I mean, to me, that's just dumb. Christ wouldn't do that. God is not what? The author of confusion, amen? What happens is man gets in there and they start tolling around. They start getting their own private interpretation because they want to justify liquoring it up, amen, amen. Amen? And there's going to be a whole multitude of them that's going to liquor it up tonight. You know that? They are. They're going to go and they're going to sit in front of that. And you know what? I say this. I say, you know what? If you want to watch the Super Bowl, amen. I'm not saying you're in sin. Not one bit. Okay? But you got a VCR. Stick a tape in it. Amen. Tape the thing. Come to church. Do right. Amen. And then when you go home that night, turn the Super Bowl on and fast forward through the commercials. Amen. You know how quick you can watch that ball game without sitting there through all these commercials? I can't stand a commercial. They drive me nuts. Just hit that fast forward. There you go. And then you got your own replay. When you want to see the big hit, you just rewind. And you can hit the button back and forth. And it goes, boop, 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 boop. Amen. That's what we used to do. Amen. We used to rewind it. We'd catch one of our buddies who just got laid out, man. Our coach had hit that button 15 times. They say, "Watch this, watch." It was miserable, man. Amen. But anyway, here's what I'm trying to say tonight. Leaven is always a picture of what? Sin. It's a picture of sin. It's a type of sin. Christ is not going to involve something that is a type and a picture of sin in the Lord's Supper. In the Last Supper. Matthew 26, verse 27. Watch this. Watch what he says here. Now, this is what's going to stump everybody. I love this. I had this conversation the other day. But anyway, Bible says, verse 27 says, And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. First, this is my blood of the New Testament." Now, we know for a fact, amen, it's not real blood, okay, which is shed for many of the remission of sins. Now, verse 29 says, "But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this wine." Uh-oh. What did that say? "I will not drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." He didn't even say wine. He never said it at the Last Supper. He said cup. If you study it out in others, he said cup or he said the fruit of the vine. The Bible tells me in Deuteronomy chapter 32, he says, "And thou didst drink the pure blood of the grape, beloved." And if you study out the Old Testament, you find out that a high priest could not ever partake of strong drink, amen, especially when he was in the working of the tabernacle. Do you understand that? The Bible tells me in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, "Consider the apostle, capital A, and high priest, capital H, capital P, of our profession, comma, Christ Jesus," amen, amen. Jesus Christ could not partake of any type of fermented wine. Can you say amen to that? He would not have served wine. Look over Mark 15. He would not have served wine, dear saints of God, at the Last Supper, at the Lord's Supper, giving us the ordinance that we need to follow. Do this in remembrance of me. As oft as you drink this cup, as oft as you take this bread, do this in remembrance of me. He would not have used fermented grape juice, beloved, but he would have used pure new wine, which is not rotten, dear saints of God. Watch this here, Mark 15. Now, hey, look at me real quick. Now, I said this. Strong drink, which is fermented wine, is universally condemned. Amen. Can you say amen to that? Universally condemned in the Word of God, in the life of the believer, with the exception of one rule. And what's that? When you're ready to die. When you're ready to die. Give strong drink unto a man who's ready to perish. Not when you're sick. Amen. Amen. I mean, the ladies know more about that than we do. Right? Amen. What do you drink when you get a urinary tract infection? Cranberry juice. You don't drink wine, do you? Amen. See the common sense light coming on now? Bing! Don't you love that? Listen. Amen. She's listening.
Amen.
At least she's listening to the beans. Gotta love her. Listen, man. Give strong drink unto a man ready to perish. Jesus Christ is on the cross. He said, I thirst. Look there in Mark 15, verse 23. Mark 15, verse 23. The Bible says, and they gave him to drink wine. What does that say? Mingled with myrrh. What's the testimony he left us? But he received it not. He received it not. Isaiah said, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle. What's this? To mingle strong drink. Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer. Those that are called Christians are like Christ. If you're saved and you're not like Christ, then you are not called a Christian. Can you say amen, amen, amen? He refused it, beloved. Scripturally, you cannot ever support the drinking of any alcohol, of the belligerent beverage, beloved, outside of a man on his deathbed. And we don't even need it today. Amen? If you're on your deathbed, they can load you up with morphine. And you can go on out without pain. It was used in the Old Testament as a narcotic, beloved. It was never used scripturally and correctly as a form of entertainment. Christ never turned water into rotten wine. He never did it. The problem today, beloved, is we have too many people who want to be royal with crown royal. Amen. We got too many people in this world today who want to be a priest yet partake in pure grain alcohol, beloved. That's the problem that we have in this world today. Christ said, nay. He said, I refuse it. I don't want it. They attempted to give him wine mingled with myrrh. But you know what else? They gave him vinegar. And he took it. But he would not take the wine that was mingled. He would not take the wine that was fermented. Even though he was ready to die as a high priest, as the apostle, as our Savior, as the one who set the example, he refused it. It's the belligerent beverage, beloved. And I believe we've answered it this morning scripturally and laid the foundation of what we need to see as we go into the message tonight, beloved. You can shuffle the words around as much as you want. You can say, well, it really means this, it really means that. You can say whatever you want, but you will never scripturally prove that a Christian, a born-again believer in Christ today, should ever partake of the belligerent beverage. Now, I ask you today, and we're closing right now, but I ask you this morning to come back tonight. The rest of the story you'll hear tonight. You'll hear the suffering, the scorn. But bless God, you'll see the success of the belligerent beverage. Tonight is where you get the rest of the story. The foundation is laid to answer any questions about scripturally, should a believer drink? The answer is no. The answer is no. You want to be called a Christian? Christ said, nay. You want to be called a Christian? He breathed into the mind of Solomon. He said, look not on it. Don't even look at it. Don't go around it. Don't be a part of it. Don't even place yourself in a point of temptation around that liquor. We'll bring some points in on that tonight. I hope and pray that you're back. I hope and pray that you get the full cup concerning the belligerent beverage. Every head bowed, every eyes closed, if you will. Let's all stand. No one moving about, please.
This concludes this message. For more information on messages available through the Faithful Witness Outreach, visit New Testament Baptist Church online at www.ntbctn.com, or for immediate assistance, call New Testament Baptist Church at 615-851-0970. If you are in the Nashville, Tennessee area, please feel free to join us at any of our church times. New Testament Baptist Church is located at 2320 Baker Station Road, Goodlettsville, Tennessee, 30072.